The Fontana fall and winter season concludes on Friday with a performing ensemble from Germany, a quintet of vocalists called Kalmus. I spoke with one of the founding members, baritone Ludwig Berma, a few days ago to learn about their current U.S. tour and some of their other activities. I started off by telling Mr. Berma it's been an unusually abundant year for vocal music in Kalamazoo with visits from the Rose Ensemble, Chanticleer, and A Room Full of Teeth. We are well primed for great singing right now in Kalamazoo.
So
what strikes me, first of all, is that there are only five of you covering the entire range of voices.
Yeah, so we have the female soprano, and we have the male alto, the countertenor, a tenor voice. I'm the baritone, and then we have a bass. And everything that's written for five parts can be sung with our group, so it's quite a good lineup. So we have a variety of repertoire, no problems in finding the right music.
You have also have nowhere to hide. Because there is only one person per part, you can't hide behind other members of your voice type.
I know what you mean. But I think this is the main reason why we are doing this. Because we are... We can form the sound of the ensemble individually with our voices. We are soloists, but we mix together to a sound, to a blend, and this is a challenge and this is great fun. So, if there would be more than one voice in each line, it would be a bit more boring for us.
Do you also have an unofficial member of the group who simply sits in the hall, in the back of the hall, and helps balance your singing and performance?
No, we don't have such a person. Kalmus was founded in 1999, so that was 18 years ago. I'm one of the founding members, so I'm with the group since 18 years. And during this time, you create such experience for balance, for blend, for your musical ideas. And I think for a group, it's necessary to find their own musical language. And so we found our language, and we are fine with this. And so we don't need somebody who blends us. So there are many recordings of our group, and we have feedback when we hear this recordings. And from time to time, we think about working with one specific person, but this happens every 2 years, so once in 2 years or things like that.
Yes, I counted 20 different available recordings right now on the Kalmus website.
Yeah, you are well informed.
Well, that's an incredible amount of work in 17 years.
Yes, and you will see with these recordings a span that reaches from Gregorian chant to pop arrangements.
You must work together very, very closely, and you also have to discuss interpretations and agree, like a string quartet would, on breathing and pauses and phrasing. And do your discussions sometimes get contentious or a little argumentative?
Of course. Five individual characters, five opinions, and we very often need to find one solution that includes every single member. So we discuss a lot, we think about, we try things out, and then we agree to something. Sometimes with democratic voting, in a quintet it's easy. 3 and 2, so you can get a majority. but it would be wrong to say that we are always arguing about the right idea. If you want to be successful in a vocal group like ours, you need to be friends, and you need to speak the same musical language without speaking about it. So I think the breathing, the phrasing, the way of singing is something which we have in common, or every one of us does it the same way, and this is a basis for all the interpretations we talk about, and we take a lot of time of finding the right interpretations.
Well, in addition to recording albums in the studio, what is your touring schedule like? How many concerts does Kalmus perform every year?
Maybe around 70, about half of them in Germany at home, and the other half abroad in other European countries. And we come to the United States 2 to 3 times a year for longer tours. So we have been to 31 states in the U.S., which is a good number.
I noticed this time you're starting on the West Coast of the United States, in Texas and Oregon and California. And then you're coming to the Midwest. You're just jumping over here to Michigan.
You never know before where you will have the concerts. So we have been very often to the East Coast in New York City, and that's where we finish our tour. But we have been to the Midwest too. We have been to Utah and to Salt Lake City and to St. Paul and Chicago, several places in Wisconsin. So always interesting to see new places. And especially on this tour, we had wonderful landscapes as well. We had a free day at the Yellowstone National Park, which was very nice.
Oh, good. Well, I myself spent one day in Leipzig.
You did?
A
great.
Few years ago. I went to the Thomaskirche, where Bach worked for many years. And I also visited the Mendelssohn House.
Great.
So I would love to ask you about this. Kalmus is identified with Leipzig. You are part of the music scene there. Tell me about this musical town.
Yeah. Kalmus is very strong at home in this Leipzig tradition. And maybe this is part of our musical basis. The way of making music in Leipzig, there is a Bach tradition, and we all grew up in this tradition of singing Bach every week. I was a member at the St. Thomas Boys Choir, and so I sang every week a Bach cantata. And this was a great education, a great musical education. It's not only the Bach tradition, it's also the Mendelssohn. Yeah, Mendelssohn founded the first conservatory in Germany, and the Gewandhaus Orchestra is a well-known orchestra. So Leipzig is a music city, and when you grow up in such a city, this is a gift, and this is for sure something which can be heard in the Kalmus sound and in the Kalmus interpretations. Yeah.
Were you surprised when you, as a younger person, to visit other places and realize that not everyone is grounded in the music of Bach and singing?
What I realize is that the different cultures have the cultural roots lead to interesting musical abilities. Of course, maybe we are experienced in singing Bach, but when we come to the United States and we hear good choirs here singing, for example, gospels or spirituals, this is a thing Kalmus would never do. because we can't do it the way the Americans can do it, or the South American rhythm. Yeah, and we have been to South America too, and when we hear the choir sing there, the folk songs with a complex rhythm and with a right groove. So the talent, we have the Bach talent, and other people have other talents, and this is nice to hear. So we are not too proud. We're just we're lucky to grow up in Leipzig.
You are willing to take on old English, I guess you might say, in English of Shakespeare's time. That's the program, I believe, you'll perform.
Yeah, we sing a whole Shakespeare program. That's right.
It's called Shakespeare a cappella. Would you tell me about the design of this program?
Yeah, the idea came because last year was the 400th anniversary of Shakespeare's death. And this was our reason to create a whole Shakespeare program a cappella. But as you know, Shakespeare wrote a lot of theater plays, and of course things like A Midsummer Night's Dream, we know the setting by Mendelssohn, or Otello, we know the Verdi opera, mm-hmm. and these are big things we can't do just as a quintet. So it was not easy to find a cappella music, and so we found excerpts of the several plays of Shakespeare, excerpts from some of the plays, Midsummer Night's Dream, The Twelfth Night, The Tempest, and things like that. And we combined it with settings of the beautiful sonnets. And then we found a lot of a cappella music, some ancient music, because Shakespeare was popular during his lifetime. So we can find the earliest settings of Shakespeare words in the 17th century, Henry Purcell, Thomas Morley, and composers like that. But we found an interesting variety of contemporary a cappella music. So many composers in the program are not very well known, but they wrote really interesting new choral music. And so this Shakespeare program deals with the ancient poet, but gives a very contemporary view on a cappella music in the 21st century, which is very interesting and was a bit surprising for us too when we found the music.
I should ask you if you will perform unamplified or with amplification. I've seen you use microphones in videos, but I wasn't sure if during a tour you would use them or not.
Yeah, on the videos that have been recording videos in the studio when we have recorded a CD. So normally we sing not amplified.
I see.
So it happens once in a year that we have to use microphones. So in 99% we sing without microphones, and that's the way we are going to perform in Kalamazoo too.
With this program, Shakespeare a cappella, how much music did you leave off of the program? How much did you actually review before deciding upon a single program?
Oh, it's difficult to tell you a number, but of course we start with the idea, then we collect, mm-hmm. and we found many pieces, and because of this anniversary of Shakespeare's death, quite a number of new publications had been presented, and so we tried. We rehearsed a little bit, then we planned the structure of the program, and maybe half of them is in the program and the other half was left out. So, yeah.
Yes, I can imagine. I mean, there must be so many settings of Shakespeare's prose and poetry to choose from. Do you have a network of other musicians and friends that you share exciting finds and ideas about choral music and singing with throughout Europe or even across the Atlantic and sharing ideas with people in the North American community of singing.
So, of course, it is important to be aware what's happening in the vocal world.
Mm-hmm.
So we know many other vocal groups, we know choirs, and we, besides our 70 concerts, we have time to do different things as well. Yeah, some of us are singing as soloists. I'm a studied choir conductor. I have two choirs in Leipzig, and to keep a wide horizon mm-hmm. in the field of vocal music is important. And so, of course, there are networks, there are partners we have worked with, there are choirs we have met, we have performed together with them. We know a big number of composers and arrangers who we appreciate very much and who we commission with arrangements or compositions. And yeah, of course, a good network is important.
Speaking as the director of the Josquin des Prés choir in Leipzig,
oh, you're very well informed.
Is early music also an exciting field right now?
Of course it is. Of course it is, and it's one of the main aspects of our work with Calmus II. So, because the vocal music that was written from the very beginning, from Gregorian chant up to maybe 1600, was completely a cappella, and the choirs of this time in the churches, yeah, normally these had been sacred choirs, they often had just six or seven singers, so it came very close to a vocal ensemble, and so the music of this time fits very well to a group like ours. So we have sung a lot of Josquin, of course, and it's of course because I have the choir and I have the concert series with a whole Josquin performance. I'm quite I have abilities in the field of this music, but I think we all have, and we love this ancient music.
I think I will finally just ask about the future for Calmus, and if you have a recording project in the works you can tell me about, or another exciting tour coming up.
Yeah, for us, the U.S. tours are really exciting, and this one is very nice. We will be back in the United States at Christmas time. We will have a Christmas tour in December. We will record our next CDs, of course, this year and next year. This year is also very important for us because we celebrate 500 years of Reformation of Martin Luther, and this is a big thing for us too, because this Reformation happened in Leipzig and around Leipzig, and so it's a very big thing. We have tourists from all over the world, and of course we found some interesting music from this time and created programs and sing this. So there's plenty to do for us.
Well, Mr. Berma, I wish you well on your tour, and thank you for talking with me today about Calmus performing in Kalamazoo.
Yeah, it had been a pleasure.